Hello and welcome to The Perfect Formula, brought to you by V2 Sport. Following the Belgian Grand Prix.
Yeah, a bit of a shake-up, really.
Yeah, so we'll come on to talk about the race shortly, but first I want to talk about some of the big news which hits over the summer, which has happened while we've been away. First of all, Daniel Ricciardo, no longer at Red Bull. Well, he won't be at Red Bull from next season. He'll be going to Renault. Thoughts on that?
I think it could be either a clever move or an Alonso move. it could be either of them. It could be that Renault, you know, is going to develop a car that's really good, but they keep having engine problems, and it passes on to these other teams that are using those Renault engines as well. So I'm not seeing a lot of promise in that engine at the moment.
Do you think that in order to compete with the Mercedes and the Ferrari, who develop their own engines in-house, it needs to be a completely new team who develop their own engines, and it's a proper manufacturer as opposed to Red Bull, say, who don't make their own engines?
Well, yeah, no, I think Renault's got the right idea. To be perfectly honest, I heard something this week, which I agree with, which is that there needs to be more teams in total. And there needs to be more teams that develop their own engines.
Yeah, there does.
Sorry, I've gone completely off.
No, that's a good point. It is a valid point, but, you know, there's 20 cars in F1, and historically there's been 22, so it's hardly a big difference. I think the problem you've got at the minute is the mass discrepancy between, you know, say the big three and the rest of the field. It's a huge difference.
Thing is, it's annoying because you do have certain Formula One teams that do have engine building capabilities. They do have car factories and engineers who I'm sure would actually find it incredibly fun and exciting to work on a Formula One engine, even if it's just for a season or two to see if it works or not. I think if they're serious about winning, if they're serious about competing, they've got to take the financial leap and try it.
I presume you're referring to McLaren.
Yeah. Its performance lately has been shocking, and I think the only way that they can sort that out is by getting a different engine. And they've tried different suppliers for them. They've run out of options.
Well, they can't try it for a season or two. They would have to commit and put a proper investment in and try for 5 years.
That's what I'm saying, but they've got to take the financial leap.
Well, at the minute, there's not much point them doing that until the next set of regulations come out in a few years' time. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll change then. But I personally think, I'll come on to McLaren with Alonso in a minute, but just sticking with Ricciardo, I think he's probably done the right thing, because I can't ever see him being world champion at Red Bull. I just don't see it. And I think with Verstappen and the rivalry there, that's certainly not going to be helpful. I think there's no seat available at Ferrari or Mercedes for him. I think that's his best option.
I mean, he's going to be with Hülkenberg, and Hülkenberg is working to try and expand the Renault team anyway. I think he's probably more interested in developing the team than winning a championship, to be perfectly honest. I'm sure he'd like to, but he's more interested in developing a long-standing Formula One team that can compete against the Mercedes and the Ferrari teams. So it'll work for Ricciardo, but yeah, I heard some things that perhaps Verstappen got given a much better deal than Ricciardo is being offered, and as Ricciardo is the senior driver, he didn't take kindly to that.
Would you say Ricciardo's a senior driver? Like, in terms, I get he's been there longer, but in terms of ability, would you say he's any better than, or any more talented than Max Verstappen?
I think the difference is, I would say Ricciardo is more not necessarily more talented, but the better driver
more
at the moment.
More capable today, yeah.
Yeah. I would say Verstappen is too hot-headed.
Okay.
Still too impulsive. And he doesn't see the situations where he really needs to rein it in. Whereas Ricciardo, he does risky overtakes. You've seen him do risky overtakes, undertakes. He will do them last minute. But he will back out if he knows it's going to cause a problem. Whereas Verstappen will think, 50-50, I'll try it anyway. I think that's the difference.
I think Max has reined it in quite a lot compared to what he was. And I think, as of today, I think they'd be very similar over a season or whatever. I think... I think you can't you can't compare them on points because of the amount of engine failures they've had at Red Bull. It's not a fair contest, but I think in terms of racing ability, I think as of today they are quite similar.
I think this season you can't really say that in terms of Verstappen on the grounds that the only people that Verstappen would be competing against, doing those risky overtakes against, have been so far ahead of him. They've not been competing. So he's not had the same chance to make the stupid cock-ups that he's always made in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Red Bull just hasn't been close enough.
Mm.
And I think that's a big difference. I don't think necessarily he's reined it in. I don't think he has at all, to be perfectly honest. Considering the sort of interactions he's had between his teammate, which is the only other car that really can compete with his car, and isn't going to just blow him away. He's had a lot of risky interactions with his teammate as well. And so I wouldn't say he's reined it in.
And you think they're all one side of the risky
interactions? Oh, no. I think Ricciardo has made a massive mistake this season.
Yeah.
But in terms of how many mistakes and how severe the mistakes are, he's made a lot less.
Does it remind you, Ricciardo going to Renault, of when Lewis Hamilton left left McLaren and went to Mercedes? I mean, it's a team he's been with, well, through Red Bull and its junior team for a long time and and everyone's sort of raising their eyebrows now. Because people, when he left McLaren for Mercedes, people were ridiculing him for it, thinking he was crazy.
I mean, I think the different... Well, no, I suppose it's a very similar situation because whilst Red Bull had their heyday, and then they're now having engine problems, they're not performing as well. McLaren was also in that same period where they'd had a heyday beforehand, and now Hamilton was getting frustrated because the Red Bull was always beating the McLaren. And so he went to this team that wasn't really doing anything that much at the time. And they must have promised him a brilliant engine when Hamilton transferred.
Can you imagine an alternate reality where instead of getting Hamilton, Mercedes got Sebastian Vettel and Alonso ends up staying at Ferrari, and Hamilton only has one world championship to his name.
Well, the thing is the difference is that Red Bull, well, Vettel was not going to leave Red Bull at that point.
Yeah.
Red Bull was winning too much. Red Bull only decided he wanted to leave. Well, Vettel only decided he wanted to leave Red Bull once Hamilton started winning in that Silver Arrow.
Yeah.
And then he got envious and Ferrari place opened up for him.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But, you know, I think, you know, no matter what happens, if that was the case, Hamilton would have gone to Ferrari. And Hamilton would then have won a few championships in this Ferrari car. So, it all depends, really. Okay.
I want to stick with Red Bull because there's been a bit of a dispute as well. Fernando Alonso, who is confirmed he will not be racing in Formula One next season, he's sort of retired. He's not going to be racing, but he said he may come back in the future. It's been a bit of a dispute with him and Christian Horner. Christian Horner says that Alonso's never been offered a Red Bull drive, and Alonso said, well, he's been offered it about 7 times in the last 3 or 4 years. Your thoughts on that situation with Alonso leaving?
I wouldn't put it past Red Bull to offer him a position. He's a very experienced driver. Whether it's been recent, that's what I dispute with. Unless it was this season when...
Well, he claimed that it was recently, immediately after Ricciardo left.
Yeah. But I think before that, when Ricciardo was still, you know, perhaps staying in Red Bull, you know, the contract papers were signed up in FN, I think Red Bull didn't really have the dynamic in place for Alonso at that point.
Mm.
I think before Verstappen was signed, yeah, they probably did ask Alonso because he would have fit into a dynamic with Ricciardo. The moment Verstappen comes into the picture, it's not really going to work with Alonso. Alonso has been with young, hot-headed drivers before, and it does not work.
Could you not? That would be brilliant to watch, though, from the media, from recording podcasts. Could you imagine hearing about Alonso and Verstappen every week?
I think Red Bull has had too much experiences of drivers trying to kill each other. We'll put it that way. I mean, Vettel wasn't all that friendly with Mark Webber.
Multi-21.
And then, of course, there's Verstappen and Ricciardo. I think Verstappen generally winds up Ricciardo, but... Yeah.
But in terms of Alonso, it's going to be sad to see him leave the sport, I think. I'm sure he'll have success in some other sort of racing series, but yeah. It's going to be a shame not to see him in F1.
I think the problem is as well, though, is, yeah, it's nice to have all these old drivers like Raikkonen and Alonso in the picture, but at the same time, it's stopping the younger drivers from getting the chance. There's a lot more drivers than there are rides.
Yeah.
And I think holding on to these old legends, as it were, ruins the prospects of the future.
I think, yeah. It's interesting, there's some conspiracy theorists on Reddit I saw saying that they think Alonso's biding his time and he's going to replace Raikkonen at the end of the season. I mean, Alonso and Vettel together at Ferrari. I don't see him ever joining Ferrari again.
No, I think it's something fun to theorise about. I think the teams need to be focusing on
their youth talent. So for next season, you think that Ferrari, for instance, rather than Raikkonen, Ferrari should promote Leclerc and give him a chance.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to have it that all these old drivers retire because they just physically can't do it anymore.
Oh.
And they're going to have a whole load of young, inexperienced drivers who have not had a big ride before. You've not seen it. And so they're going to be swapping drivers every season, trying to work out what fits.
Yeah, but I think drivers can always make that step up when they're performing well for a mid-table side. Yeah, like,
you can always see ones that they perform well on the mid-table. As soon as they're put into a high-powered car, you know, they mess it up.
Mm.
They don't have the control, they don't have the finesse. And that's the difference.
Okay.
I mean, I think Leclerc showed that he didn't have some of the finesse whenever it came down to driving in the wet.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that finesse. But he is more calm. He's an old head and young shoulders.
Yeah.
Which we've had a lot of other drivers, which
they're hot-headed,
and I mean, you've had drivers like Perez. He did really well in the lower mid teams when he was young, and then got stepped up into McLaren. I mean, admittedly, it wasn't an amazing car at the time. It was a good car, but he completely messed it up.
Mm.
You know, he kept crashing. He was costing the team lots of money, lots of points, and it just didn't work. I mean, you know, evidently he's matured a bit, but I think that's worth bearing in mind as well.
Okay, well, bringing up Sergio Perez brings us quite nicely into our next thing, because Force India have agreed a package with Formula One. They're going to be known for the rest of the season as Racing Point Force India, and most likely will have a name change in the summer. Because of that, they've lost all their championship points for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Stroll's father is involved, Lawrence Stroll as well, so it looks highly likely he'll be there next season, Lance. Your thoughts on the whole Force India situation?
It's a difficult one, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I'm disappointed for Ocon and Perez, because their futures look very uncertain when they've been working so hard throughout the season to really make something of Force India. You know, it's not been a matter of they've just been driving well. They've been driving amazingly well. For the car that they're in, they have been incredibly competitive. So I think it's disappointing for them that their futures are seen as being uncertain. And Vettel was asking, you know, about places, and so it seems like the two spots are possibly being paid for drivers. One being Stroll and another one being someone else, possibly. Maybe it'll be his brother or sister, you never know.
that'd be a story, the first female F1 driver. I'm sure that'd be really helpful for those arguing that women should be more involved in F1.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think anyone that is a bought, you know, you pay for your ride sort of driver isn't good for F1 anyway. To put it bluntly, I mean, there's so many good drivers out there who are there for talent, and then you've got ones that have paid their way into it.
Yeah, but I would argue that pay drivers have always existed in F1. Mm. They've existed for a long time. Niki Lauda, for instance, a long time ago, bought his way into F1, just as one example, but there's many.
Yeah.
I would say that Formula One have made it harder with the super license, and you have to be a good driver. You can't be a joke driver and be an F1 anymore, whereas you could in the past. So they have tried, but it is it's not something that can be controlled, really. It's such a difficult thing for them to do.
It is
sad for someone.
It's annoying because you don't get rugby players or football players that are there because mummy and daddy have paid money. You know, not in the big teams. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, perhaps, but I guess with Formula One, with sponsorships and such being such a big deal, and you know, to a team like Williams or Force India where money is tight, they don't have much choice. And perhaps that's that's a whole other argument about whether finances should be split more equally between the teams. If I'm sure Ferrari
I'm sure Sky's paid an awful lot for the Formula One license.
Well, that's there's that as well. There's that aspect, and yeah, we could have a whole show about that if you really want to. I don't really want to get into that too much. But yeah, I do want to stick with the two drivers though, because the two of them both impressed in qualifying, third and fourth. Very, very good qualifying performance, and then converted that to a 5-6 finish in the race behind, you know, the best of the rest, because they're not going to compete with the top teams. And great drives from the pair of them.
Yeah, no, their drives were very impressive, actually. And, you know, I think their qualifying laps were incredibly good as well. And it's Ocon that we know that his future is not stable. And he's the one that, you know, he did quite an aggressive move on Vettel. first lap, yeah. And you know, that took balls, but it also a great deal of skill that he managed to even get to that position in the first place.
And Perez was in the mix as well. Perez was on the other side.
Yeah, Perez managed to take advantage of the whole sort of move, and I think that shows. I think he's got a little bit of seniority in time of being in F1, and I think that showed.
I think that was just luck of the situation. Mm. I think both drivers are very similar and equal in skill. I think when you think back as well, the two drivers have hit each other a few times. But, well, going back to what I was saying about Verstappen, similar to that, I think they've reined it in a lot, and there hasn't been any shenanigans. There wasn't any fighting, really, during the race. It was kind of accepted.
They also seem like when they're off the track, they're quite friendly with each other.
Yeah.
Which you don't see with Verstappen and Ricciardo and...
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I mean, you see it with Bottas and Hamilton, which is an unusual one, and Raikkonen and Vettel. They're also a friendly pair, and I think that's something new actually for this sort of the most recent seasons, is you've got this companionship between the two drivers, other than Red Bull, where you know one of them is happy to take a supportive role if they need to.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out that as well, in one race, Racing Point Force India have overtaken Williams in the Constructors Championship. They're on 18 points. They're only a point off Sauber. So they're a point off 8th place in just one race. Hopefully they can finish 6th or so, because there's been a bit of a row. I know the Haas team have been very vocal, and Gunther Steiner has been saying about the amount of finance they get, because whether they're classed as a new team or not, effectively, they get less money if they're a new team for this season. So there's a bit of a row going on over that.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to remove funding from Force India, you're going to make it bankrupt again, and you're going to get rid of another team. I mean, that's brilliant for Sauber, because it makes them look better, and you know, it means that they've got one less competition in that. But Formula One can't stand to lose another team.
But this
not
is a,
really.
This is a whole situation over the finances of F1, because of the whole historic team nonsense, where Ferrari, well, nonsense in my view. I'm sure others could make a case that I'm wrong, but Ferrari, McLaren get a significant amount of money more than others because of their historic value, and also the top teams.
Surely, what would be interesting is, I've been sort of half joking with the idea of Jaguar coming back onto the track. Now, would Jaguar count as a historic team or a new team?
No, they'd be a new team, because it's based on the number of seasons they've consecutively been in F1.
Yeah, I mean, surely when it comes down to funding, it should be that the top performing teams get the most money.
That happens, yes. Yeah, but it's also...
I mean, because McLaren at the moment, I'm sorry, it doesn't deserve to be getting more money than Force India.
The argument that's made is that people, Ferrari fans, watch Formula One. Ferrari fans bring a big pull. It's almost like watching a film. You watch a film for the big name actors, or you watch Formula One for the big name. That's the argument made by the likes of, say, Ferrari.
I think that is rubbish, to be honest. I mean,
if Ferrari pulled out of Formula One, you don't think the viewership would reduce?
No. I don't think the viewership would reduce, no, because people like watching the sport. Whereas, yes, you're going to have less Ferrari fans on the side of the track, sort of thing. But Ferrari aren't going to pull out of the sport just because of this. I mean, at the end of the day, they should be willing to admit that Formula One, at the moment, not always, is good advertising for them. They are a sports car company. And as such, them being in Formula One and doing well is a heck of a lot of advertising for them. So why should they get more funding? Because essentially they're making more money out of the Formula One than other teams that do not have a sport car range.
Maybe you should be negotiating for Liberty Media.
Well, I find it ridiculous. I mean, McLaren, if they were doing well, they would be getting a lot of money in income from selling their sports car because of the fact that Formula One is good advertising if your car's doing well.
So at the minute you're not tempted to buy a McLaren?
No, I'd be more tempted to buy a Mercedes, even though you are an arsehole if you drive one. Sorry to anyone that does.
if it means anything, just to balance the show a little bit, I think everyone who drives a Mercedes is a lovely person.
Just like Audi.
Right, let's move on. Let's talk about Mercedes and Ferrari and the whole battle at the front. Lewis Hamilton looked very downbeat after the race. He finished second behind Vettel.
Yeah.
But when asked about the car, he didn't look very happy and didn't look much full of hope. Thinks the Mercedes is quite a way behind the Ferrari. And also he said about the tricks that the Ferrari has. Just generally his demeanour wasn't good.
I think the clip when the car's finished was a brilliant one where he's looking at the Formula One car Ferrari car perplexed. You know, you can see in his brain he's thinking, what's so different? And I think the reason why he looks especially down for this race is Mercedes have come back with this new engine upgrade and it's boosted their times. But at the same time, Ferrari's come back with an engine upgrade that is still faster than them. And I think that's why he was like that. It's because of the fact that, you know, his engineers have worked so hard, but it's not yielded. And I think at the end of the day, what he's done now is he's decided he's going to button down. He is going to try and limit the amount of points ahead Vettel is going to get over the next few races. And that essentially when it starts going to the colder tracks, the more twisty tracks again, he's hoping that his car, which is doing better on the corners than the Ferrari is, will start winning again. Mm-hmm. I think at the moment that is all he's got to do. He's got to do damage control.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands that. And so reporters asking him to his face, what do you think about next week? Aren't going to get a favourable answer. Because he knows next week is going to, you know, it's got long, fast straights on it. Mm-hmm. Which the Ferrari car is just going to go past him on.
Yeah.
You know, there's no fighting that. Not unless you can blow their engine up somehow.
in terms of the race, it was a pretty routine sort of race following the, front row anyway, following the first lap where Vettel overtook Hamilton and there was a safety car. But after it was all...
Even the first overtake, it was simple. It was pure straight line speed against him. And, you know, I think if anything, Mercedes is looking slower on the straight line speed than most cars. I mean, you can see it dropping away. And even the Force India managed to get right close to Hamilton in straight line speed. Well, I think
they argued that was because the slipstream is extremely strong going up El Rouge, and that's why the Force Indias were so close, is the argument made, because they had a well, a triple slipstream, if you like, if you're in fourth place.
Yeah, but I would say that anyway, the Mercedes just doesn't look like it's competing on the straights, and so anytime it gets to a straight, if a Ferrari is anywhere near them, it's simple for them.
I do think it was a well-judged overtake from Vettel to wait, you know, go up Elridge following Hamilton, and then the overtake right at the end. I thought it was well-judged. You don't think it was a particularly good overtake?
No, I think it was a very simple overtake. It was very simple. It's a long fucking straight. He had more speed. Hamilton's only allowed to do one defensive manoeuvre.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get more simplistic. If you want good overtakes, there's a heck of a lot more good overtakes.
Okay, well let's discuss some of the other drivers. Max Verstappen made a couple of good overtakes as he completed the podium. Fought his way up the grid from a seventh place start, I believe, after the Red Bulls made the mistake in qualifying.
Might have been a bit further back actually, to be fair. But also he lost a bit of time when it came down to the big pile up. In the first corner as well. So he was quite a bit back, to be fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
After that, he pulled off some great overtakes.
Yeah, he did pull off some great overtakes. Bottas did a risky, amazing overtake on a corner.
Up Elridge.
Yeah, just dived in at the last second sort of thing. And I think that's some skill and some risk that we've not seen him take before, which was impressive. I think Perez and Ocon did, you know, quite well in getting their places back after tyre changes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no, I'd say Verstappen was pretty impressive throughout that whole race, to be fair.
Just before we come on to the whole first lap incident, I guess it's the contenders. Who's your driver of the day?
Verstappen.
Okay, not Vettel, who was the official winner.
I don't think he deserved to be. I mean, there was nothing impressive about his drive at all. It was a standard routine drive.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't even like Hamilton was even trying to challenge him after that safety car.
I would have given Perez the driver of the day, but it's a tough for me. It was a toss up between him or Ocon. I just literally just say Perez because he finished in front, but I wouldn't argue either way. Ocon did make a brave move to try and take the lead, so he does deserve credit for that. Talk about someone who certainly wasn't driver of the day, Nico Hülkenberg, who caused a huge crash on the first lap.
Yeah.
Just didn't break.
Yeah, no, just didn't break in time. He admitted it on TV that he made a mistake, and it was shocking how much a little mistake like that could cause. I'm surprised he didn't get a more of a penalty for that.
Yeah, I do want to say he did admit it on TV. He could have quite easily said on TV there was a brake fade. He could have made some crap up. I think it was very good of him to admit on TV, I screwed up.
No, I think with the amount of investigation it would be into that one, it would get found out by reporters eventually. There was no engine problem. There was no brake problem. In which case, he's going to look like an arse after saying on TV, it was a brake problem. He's better off admitting it was his own fault when it is his own fault, rather than waiting for the investigation to be done, the reports released, and then the reporters going on it like a hound of dogs, finding out that he lied on TV and said it was a brake failure when there was no such thing.
No, but he could have been evasive. He could have said, we're doing an investigation. He could have
I think that was damage control.
Okay.
And I think he was probably told by Renault to say that.
And in terms of his punishment, it's a 10-place grid penalty from the next race. You don't think that's harsh enough?
I think it should have been a race ban, to be perfectly honest. With the amount of damage on that corner, you know, the amount of damage it could have done to Leclerc or Alonso. I mean, it was a severe crash. I would say no, he needs a race ban for that. I don't think a 10-place penalty ban is enough.
Ten-place grid penalty. So, yeah, he's effectively going to start the grid. It kind of reminds me of what Grosjean did a few years ago. He caused that huge first lap pile-up. It also involved Alonso as well, as it happened. Grosjean got a race ban. What some reporters have said is that's because Hülkenberg has a better record. He's not really... Grosjean had a consistent record of causing first lap crashes that season. Hülkenberg hasn't really caused that many incidents in a long F1
Grosjean
career.
Hasn't really improved at all, has he? I mean, he caused a first lap crash this season as well.
He did, yeah. But I'm just saying the argument some are making is that Hülkenberg isn't consistently causing dangerous manoeuvres. Hülkenberg makes one mistake, he doesn't really deserve a race ban.
I think it all depends on the severity of the crash, and without that halo, you know, you don't want to think what would have happened to Leclerc.
Well,
because you saw the damage that was on that halo, it was cracked from the impact. If that goes on a helmet, you could easily snap someone's neck.
We had a debate at the start of the season about the halo. I presume if there's ever an argument for it, this is it.
Oh yeah, it certainly proved its worth.
Yeah.
In that one incident, it's proved its worth, and it looked like it helped hold Alonso's car together, because his completely fell apart. The halo did, but his main cab stayed together. So it almost looks like it supported it a bit whilst it was flying through the air.
Yeah. Well, there's a picture doing the rounds on social media of Charles Leclerc's halo, which has damage on it, but it's still intact. And Leclerc even said himself that he wasn't a fan of the halo before. He's not one of the big supporters of it, but he was very grateful he had it today, as he said at the time.
It's the halo that I was mentioning, the one that's got the cracks all the way through it and stuff. That, you know, if that had happened, if that force had hit someone's head,
you
could easily break someone's neck.
Yeah.
And in which case, they really should be looking at that crash with Hülkenberg and giving him a more severe punishment. Because if that halo wasn't in place, it's only 2 seasons old. You know, what sort of disaster could you have had with a young driver?
Yeah. Well, you think back, yeah. A few other incidents on the first lap as well. There was the Daniel Ricciardo and Kimi Raikkonen incident. Both of them didn't really get anywhere in the race. Both retired in the early... Well, Ricciardo ran quite a long way back, and in the end his race fizzled out into nothing. Raikkonen retired after about 8 laps, as I recall. It was quite early.
Too much underfloor damage.
Yeah, so, yeah, not a lot really to say there.
Well, what's interesting with that one is Ricciardo didn't get any sort of punishment for it, but it has been looked at, and Ricciardo is at fault for that one. He didn't hold back enough. And so when Raikkonen pulled out the way to, you know, let a car through, because there was no choice, otherwise it was going to be a pile-up, Ricciardo went into back of him. So I would say that Ricciardo should have got some sort of penalty for that, considering how much damage he caused to Raikkonen's car. But I think that's why they kept... Well, I said they kept Ricciardo out for so long in case there was another safety car sort of thing. But I think they kept him out in case he was going to get a penalty for that.
And there was the other incident was between Bottas and Sirotkin on the first lap. The stewards decided to award a 5-second penalty to Bottas's time at the end of the race. However, this wasn't known until after the race. Bottas finished fourth. He was about 8 seconds ahead of Perez, so he keeps his place. But there's been some anger that the penalty, especially as it happened on the first lap, wasn't decided earlier. Because had Perez known he has to stick within 5 seconds of Bottas, he could have fought harder for that place and, you know, potentially finished even fourth.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that incident, to be perfectly honest. So I don't know whether that penalty was
justified
or not. But I would say, to take, 40 laps to decide a penalty, that's taking the mick a bit.
Yeah. It is a bit disappointing, the inconsistency of how quickly penalties are applied, because sometimes they'll say it's a penalty, you know, in a timely fashion within a couple of laps, and sometimes it's a lot later. I can understand them saying investigating stuff after the race if it's not going to impact the race, but with stuff like that, you just can't understand why.
Yeah, especially not 40 laps. Exactly. What were they doing for the rest of the time? I mean, it wasn't like it was all that eventful after the first lap.
Yeah.
So they spent 40... laps debating. I mean, was that because they're trying to focus on the Hülkenberg thing? But that can be investigated after the race, so surely you're going to focus on anything that is going to impact the race at the time rather than something that needs to be focused on after the race, because all the cars that were involved in that were out. There's no need to investigate it whilst the race is going on. I don't see why it could have taken 40 laps to decide. And, you know, other than the first lap or two, it wasn't really a very eventful race, to be perfectly honest. I mean, The tyre changes all went well. No one had an extra long pit stop for any reason. There wasn't any screw-ups in strategy, really, except for, you know, Hamilton trying to take on Vettel a bit too early in regards to that release after the safety car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, evidently, if he'd held off a bit onto one of the tighter corners where he knew his car was better, it would have had a better result for him. But, yeah, no.
Okay. I've got two things I'd like to say. Firstly, Sebastian Vettel is 17 points behind Lewis Hamilton in the standings. He's favourite going into the next race in Monza. Overall for the title, which way do you see it going?
It's difficult. I mean, it all depends how the Ferrari reacts to the tracks after Monza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these two tracks are known as being good for a Ferrari. Yeah. They've got the straight line speed. You know, they're perfectly happy. Now, the other races, one, they get colder, which the Ferrari isn't quite so happy with. They also get wetter, which the Ferrari isn't quite so happy with.
Okay. So, well, that sort of brings me on to another question, because it rained in qualifying. Again, it's two qualifyings in a row. Sebastian Vettel was 3 seconds behind Lewis Hamilton.
700th of a second, actually.
Sorry, yeah, you're correct. He was 700th because he did that faster final lap. But still, Hamilton faster in the wet conditions. Is that the Ferrari or is that driver, do you think?
I think that's the driver.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest. You're not going to have that much discrepancy between how an engine works in a little bit of rain, because it wasn't a massive amount of rain. It didn't drop the temperature significantly to cause any engine problems. So I would say that is all down to the driver.
Okay.
I know that's not your favourite opinion, but...
I
would say it's down to the driver, and I would say it's down to Hamilton's experience in the rain.
No, I think Hamilton did very well to get on pole and in difficult conditions, and yeah, Hamilton deserves credit for that. I'm not arguing with that. I know we mentioned it before, but Fernando Alonso, it's a shame that his final Spa Grand Prix, he crashed out in the first lap, and he's never won at that circuit.
Well, it'll be memorable for him. I mean, I think he's flown through the air twice on that track, hasn't he?
He's...
Or did he cause someone to go through the air the previous time?
Oh, God, no.
They mentioned something about him either being airborne twice there or causing an airborne crash.
No, I didn't realise there was a quiz to go with this podcast.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be memorable, though, isn't it? I mean, how many times did you fly through the air in a Formula One car?
Yeah. I think for me, the one memory I will have of Alonso at Spa is the... and it's not a good one, really. It was him and Mark Webber, where Webber overtook him going up the hill at the start of the track up Hell Ridge. I think that for me, is one of the best overtakes I've ever seen. It's funny that I'm remembering it. I'm thinking of Alonso and I'm thinking of him getting overtaken, to be honest. It's the amount of respect between the two drivers. Okay, I think that's everything, unless there's anything else.
Yeah, hopefully Monza will be an interesting race. I'm kind of hoping it's going to rain on the Ferrari's parade. I mean, there's something amusing about a team not winning at their home race.
Okay, what, a bit like Hamilton and Vettel earlier this season?
Yeah. Well, no, it was amusing that, you know, Vettel won at Hamilton's home race and then Hamilton won at Vettel's home race, and it almost was like an eye for an eye sort of thing. And it does amuse you a bit, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, it would be fun if Monza had rain, because I think that would be an interesting race then.
Yeah. As it stands, yeah, you'd expect, assuming it's dry conditions, you expect the two Ferraris dominate. Yeah. All right, well, thank you for joining us for this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've had a good summer as well, summer break. We'll be back after the Monza Grand Prix, so you've only got a week, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, you can hear our dulcet tones on the speakers again.
I hope you've enjoyed I hope you've enjoyed the show. You can also check out our other shows. We also do football podcasts and wrestling podcasts. Well, not us personally, but yeah, there's also football and wrestling you can listen to, and check that out. And check out the V2 Sport Network on Twitter. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thanks, bye.